stand prepared. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we're one of His tonight. We're identified with you. Not that we identified ourselves, Lord, by ourselves, but you identified us and called us the sheep hearing the voice. Now tonight, Lord, we want to continue hearing that voice because if we know we come by hearing the voice, then we're going to stay by hearing the voice. And so we pray, Lord, our minds shall be enriched and enlivened by your Spirit revealing to us the Word. O God, may each one tonight have a portion allotted unto them of revelation of thy Word, O God. Give them new insight, Lord, and a new depth, we pray. And then, Father, may all of us, so stirred by the realization of the revelation, walk all the more softly and carefully before thee, doing our best, O God, to serve thee in spirit and in truth, yielded fully in body, mind, and spirit, every part of us, Lord, wholly sanctified by the word of Almighty God, that our lives be identified with you in this manner, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, give us the words to speak, we pray, the words to hear, O God. May we be blessed in what we say and what we hear. May we be careful what we say and careful how we hear, knowing that it's going to be added to us, Lord, exactly what we say and how we hear. Very serious, Lord, we know. As your prophet often prayed, you who could shut the lion's mouth, shut, Lord, our mouth tonight if be something might be said that ought not to be said, O God. And then, Lord, open the ears, we pray, let there not be the all puncturing in the earlobe tonight, lining up, Lord, with creeds and dogmas. But, O God, may we proclaim our jubilee this day, being set free from every thought, every counterfeit, to walk in the full reality of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we long for, Lord. And we thank you that you have heard us. And now, Lord, we believe you've answered our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. It's always a great privilege to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God, and it's a great responsibility, of course, to attempt to show the word of the Lord. We know we have to be judged by what we say, and yet we're also judged by the word of God. So if we say the word of God, how can we be judged? You can't be judged. You're free. This is where we are today. We're one with that word, and it has to start somewhere. It has to start in the mind as we receive it. You know, many people are afraid to have an open mind. It's Christian Science, you know, sort of tricked a lot of folk. In fact, the devil's very clever, you know. Very, very clever. He likes to use every ruse he can, every trick in his book to keep people away from the reality of the revealed word. You know, God revealed the word to Adam and Eve, came to Adam. And he said, now don't touch of that tree in the midst of the garden because it's dead. Well, of course, the devil came right along and pitted the word against the word. And, you know, ever since then, people have been afraid to really trust Almighty God. And because Christian Science has made so much of mind and called universal mind and shown where faith and the mind must be coordinated, then people are afraid to even talk about the mind. And then when you're afraid to talk about the mind and give it its rightful place with the Word of God, there's only one place you can go, and that's to your feelings. And then when you go by your feelings, then you see you're all wrong entirely. You can't go by your feelings. Eve went by her feelings, so to speak. She felt it'd be a very good thing. And I suppose today that many people have attempted to serve God. They've gone by their feelings. They haven't gone by the Word. And we must learn to go by that Word. And don't be afraid to open our minds to it. When Stephen was preaching his memorable sermon, he said, you stiff-necked and hard of hearts, you always resist the Holy Ghost, resisting the Word of God as revealed for that day. And then what happened? In their resisting, it wasn't too long. As soon as they resisted, they denied. And in their denial, they blaspheme. In their blasphemy, they're killed. And I know people find it difficult to say, well, do I have to really bring my mind into that place? You absolutely have to do that. You line your mind up with the Word of God. See, remember, Abraham considered not his own body now dead. In other words, the mind had the five senses, and that mind, with its five senses, could have said there's no use trying to believe God, because the Bible said, the literal translation, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith. There wasn't any more use hoping. Now, the word hope doesn't mean, well, I sort of think this will take place. The word hope in the Bible is a very deep and beautiful word, because faith, hope, and love, you couldn't possibly have a little two-bit word meaning, well, it could be or couldn't be. The word hope is one of the trinity of the greatest words in the Bible, faith, hope, and love. What is hope then? It's earnest expectation. Now, what is an earnest expectation in relationship to God? It's what God said we could have, which are the promises of the hour. See? So, when it wasn't any use expecting any longer, he still expected through faith. He went on. The mind might have said a million things, but you know what? He lined that mind right up with the Word of God. See? And if you don't line your mind up, there's only one place you can go, and that's absolutely into unbelief. See, how many people today are suffering with bad nerves? Every last person now. You get a peculiar feeling down here. Right away you begin feeling something is wrong. You got a feeling like a hammer being held over your head, or the sword of, well, just some kind of a sword of power over you. And it worries you. You know what? You just use a little bit of study, you find out that man has energy. When that energy goes down, it's called nerve energy. And you're tired, and it's perhaps you've overworked. Been in a strain or a burden or some kind of a bind. And then that feeling you get in here, that's a physical feeling. And because you don't know the word or won't stand on the word, then you think that feeling is some kind of condemnation or some impending disaster, and you put that feeling instead of the word of God. You're shot right there. Opens the doors to the devil and everything else. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. I hope some of you are anyway. This might take you a lot of explanation, a lot of teaching on it. But I know what I'm talking about. That mind must come into subjection. Every thought must come into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the highest point of your body is your mind. And your mind can exalt itself against the knowledge of God, or it'll say yes. The greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. Brother Branham preached that sermon. I think I attempted a sermon like that many, many, many years ago, because I had an interest in the fact of what faith plays and what the mind plays over many, many years. And so the devil came along and he got the Christian scientists to come along and say faith that rather that God is universal mind. And then began teaching a wrong, erroneous doctrine. You only think you got cancer. Look, brother, sister, you and I can look cancer right in the eye, admit it's there, and then laugh at it. We don't deny anything, we just stand with the Word of God. But when that doctrine came out, then everybody said, well, I got to get away from that entirely. If they said it, then it's got to be wrong. Look, the devil quotes Scripture day and night, and the Scripture's 100%. It's only the devil's wrong for putting it in the wrong place or applying the wrong meaning to it. See? So we stay with the Word of God, because it's the only thing that's going to count. If we could really make a very simple statement concerning the Word of God. We just read in the book of Colossians, all things were made by Him through the Word. He's the Word. And all things are maintained by Him. And if all things are made by it, and all things are kept by it, then give me that and I've got everything. Well, you see, when a little trouble comes along, shrug it off. Shrug what off? Not the trouble, the Word. Throw away the good, keep the bad. Now, that's not what Jesus said. He said, when you throw your net in the water and you pull up a lot of things in that net, He said, you keep the fish and throw away the bad. A lot of people throw their net out, their spiritual net in that Word of God, draw it in, and then pretty soon, without knowing it, you're drawing in a lot of things with it. And using 90% of the time, the Word of God goes out the window and all the junk stays in. Now, brethren, these things ought not to be. It's time to stay with the good Word of God. That's what we're trying to do here. Line up with the precious Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what a great thing it is to do that. It's not just enough to look at the heroes of faith in the Bible and admire them, but it's only enough when we realize that we too may be a hero of faith. That's right. Oftentimes people look back upon their failures. That's the worst thing in the world. if you only look back upon the failure to learn by it, how to proceed a little more carefully next time, and then to do right.
Amen.
That's the way we do it. Sometimes it's hard to learn these lessons. I've learned some very bitter lessons, but I'm learning. I'm going to stay with what God showed me, and I'm actually glad I learned it, because I'm very sorry I had to learn it in the bitter way I learned it. You know, Brother Branham preached a sermon quite some time ago, doing God a service apart from His will. You know that? He did it. Preached that sermon. I recognized what he's talking about. I appreciated it very much. Turned right around and applied it to the lady preachers and everybody else I could think of. And I forgot to apply it to me. Yeah. The Bible says a man's gifts will make room for him. That's what it says. And you know, for years I've had a generous spirit of putting people forward. I put them forward on the testimony of those men that I thought I knew as my friends and were discerning. I have made some of the greatest blunders of my life in putting people forward. Never again. He said, Brother David, getting hard. No, not when God speaks. He said, you try to do me a service apart from my will. If that man's got something for me, it'll make room for him. You keep your hands off. I want to challenge you on that statement, because some of you may be soft-hearted. And I hope you're not soft-headed. You show me one person Brother Branham put forward. Now go ahead. Go ahead. You had to make room by your own comment. You say he put you forward. You're wrong. He did not. I served in faith and I was not put forward. When nobody could do that book, the two boys that thought they couldn't do it, Nana Jean Moore, Mary Ann and Mrs. Price could not do it. She said, Lee, I think you know a little doctrine. Could you help Brother Branham? I said, I'll try him. Never was put forward. I stepped forward on my own. You hear what I'm talking about? We have to learn our lessons. And some of those lessons, we think that we're in the will of God by doing certain things, because they're nice things. And some of us say, that's very considered. You did a wonderful thing. No, sir, you did a very wrong thing. David in his heart said, I'm going to serve God and bring that ark up. That was a wonderful idea. He went ahead in his own. He should have said, folk, we want to bring the ark. The Levites could have stepped forward and said, sir, we are the ones to bear it. Make way. This is our gift. He went right on his own as though he had a gift. And his gift did not make room, because his gift was not in the ministry. His gift was in the kingdom. The man died for it. See? It's good we learn our lessons. I don't want to make another mistake. Not in this way, anyway. It'd be pretty desperate if a man learned a lesson in one realm and then had to go back and learn the lesson all over again. We're not in the business of forgetting. We're in the business of learning day by day. We want to go all the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got a message tonight, and a little unusual, but I think it's elementary in the Word of God. It makes a good basic study and open our eyes to the day in which we live. And I want to entitle my message, Righteousness and Unrighteousness. Righteousness and Unrighteousness. Now, if we turn to the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Malachi 3. And you'll notice in there, beginning at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they should be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. Now, when are the jewels made up? They're made up at that day when the bride all comes together in the resurrection. We all sit down at the marriage supper with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and every last one of the election is going to be there. And he said, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Notice, serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now the text is the 18th verse. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now my text is a very obscure verse, because I don't know that I could look in any book of sermons or any commentary and find much upon this verse. My time, I've read many sermons, they've been a delight to my heart. But I don't know that any man ever picked this actual text to preach upon it, because it's such an obscure text, and it doesn't seem to contain very much, just as it were a general statement. Not only is it obscure, but it has a very wrong translation in the King James Version. Now, I'm not fussing at the King James Version, but when there's an error in the translation, that doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. It means that the interpreter, the translator, is wrong. Just like when a preacher reads the Bible and then he misinterprets it, it doesn't make the Bible wrong, it's his interpretation is wrong. So the interpretation from the original is wrong. And here is how it should read. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. Not between the righteous and wicked, but discern between righteousness and wickedness. Discern between him that serves God and him that serveth not. In other words, it's saying you'll be able to judge between the two. You will be able to know the difference between righteousness and wickedness, and between him that serves God and him that does not serve God. Now, to understand this actually shocks us. What kind of a person is incapable of knowing right from wrong? What kind of a person is incapable of knowing right from wrong? Also, is he so darkened spiritually that he cannot tell who serves God and who does not serve him? This is like saying a man does not know his left hand from his right hand, or worse still, he cannot even tell his hand when it's before his face. But there it is. God says there is a people, or there is a group, there's a people, who are going to be that way. Now notice how the Spirit of God puts it. He said, you shall return, and then you will be able to tell the difference between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. And you'll not be able to do this until you do return. Now also notice, if the people have to return, they have to be away from something. Because you cannot return to a point until you leave it. So therefore, these people are away from something. This is absolutely true. They are away from God. Absolutely away from him, giving them this spiritual blindness. Now, if you look at the third chapter, and in verse 7 of Malachi, you will see this. Even from the days of your fathers. Who's he talking to? Children. Right? Children. Even from the days of your father, children, you children are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. You turned away from my word and not kept it. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now it tells you this, that the people have turned away from God. Now how have they turned away from God? They have turned away from God by turning away from his word. To turn away from the word of God, to disbelieve the word of the hour is to turn away from God. And you know this is true because Malachi was the prophet of the hour, and in type in his day, although it's actually factual too, Israel had turned away from the word. They had turned away from Almighty God, because this is why God sends his prophets. He sends them in order to turn the people back to him by the word. So therefore, if they are turned back to him by the word, they are turned away from him by leaving the word. That is just absolutely factual, simple ABC. They have left God, and they have turned away from him. They have left him. Is it not strange that many people do not understand this? They feel you need God because you need some kind of an experience, perhaps, or you need their ranks, or you're doing something different from them. Just like they said to Paul, you are a heretic. He was not a heretic. He was the A1 absolute man of his day. And those who said against him those things, you're a heretic, they themselves were the heretics. They were the ones that apostatized and gone away. So now listen, you'll notice here that God has said to the children, He said, you have turned away from my word. You have absolutely left me, and I want you to turn back to me. Now, notice at what time this occurs. It occurs in the time of Malachi 4:1-6. For behold, the day cometh. Now notice he said, turn unto me, that you might understand, discern, and actually know righteousness from wickedness, because at this time you cannot tell the difference between wickedness and righteousness. Now listen, the follow words, for behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven. Now you know right away, that's when the fire of God descends in judgment. And all the proud, who are the proud? They that don't want the word. I'm increased in good. I'm rich. I don't need a thing. See? Now, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. As Brother Branham said, where do you get eternal hell out of that? If you haven't got a root, you can't have a branch. So if he burns the root, what do you got left? None. But unto you that fear my righteousness, that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember you the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded on him in Horeb, for all Israel with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite utterly the earth with a curse. Now then you'll notice that this tragic condition of such spiritual darkness, when men cannot tell the difference between righteousness and wickedness, abounds just before Jesus comes. You follow that? Now, note also how the people are turned back to God. He promises that this case shall not obtain. It won't be with everybody if you only turn back to God. You can tell. You can know. What an insult from God to tell the people, you don't know righteousness from wickedness. You don't even know who serves me and who's against me. You can't tell it in the day just before I come. That goes over like a lead balloon. The word of God going over like a lead balloon. And they said, just, now listen, they don't know they're saying this, but they're saying, just who do you think you are? Proud, arrogant, rebellious, despicable, know-it-all, can't be taught anything. You know so much, said God, and yet you can't tell righteousness from wickedness. Now, who's going to turn them back? Elijah. Not a group, but Elijah. Before that great and dreadful day. Now, brother, sister, when people are so absolutely spiritually void that they can't tell righteousness from wickedness, if I were God, I'd come to and I'd destroy utterly. Wouldn't you? I don't pretend you're sweet people. Just be honest. If you were a righteous God, and you'd come to the end of an age where there wasn't one person who could discern between righteousness and wickedness, what would you do? Huh? Am I teaching you the Bible? You agree with the Word of God? Now, what kind of a mess is the end time just before Jesus comes? Absolutely no spirit of discernment whatsoever if you can't tell right from wrong. But he said, turn to me. How? By Elijah. If the church knew what I'm preaching tonight, if they would dare to believe that this is the Word of God, which indeed it is, they'd be screaming, send me Elijah, O God. Bring him on the scene. do something, Lord. I don't want to go up as chaff and stubble. But they're too busy telling everybody how spiritual they are, how wonderful they are, how everything is so great and so marvelous. And God says there's not one of you knows the difference between right and wrong. But he said, I'm going to send Elijah, and he will turn you back to me. And he will get you to know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. If you'll only listen to him. Now this is absolutely correct. Because over here, in the book of Matthew, chapter 17 and verse 11, which you read many times, and Jesus answered and said, Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. Now, what is the condition? The condition is a people who have turned from the Word of God. They do not have the revelation, so therefore they do not know righteousness from wickedness. They cannot tell who's serving God and who is serving, not serving God. So Elijah must come and restore. He's got to put the people back in touch with the reality of the Word of God so they will now know the difference between righteousness and wickedness, which they formerly did not know, they only thought they did. And they will now know who serves God and who does not serve God, thereby, brother and sister, being able to identify themselves with the faithful ministry in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you could identify with the wrong person if you don't know who's serving God and who's not serving God. Because many only serve people for filthy lucre. Many only serve because there's preeminence there. And believe me, in the ministry there is great preeminence. And men can be betrayed by popularity and women and money. And many are. The majority fall. Because there's very few in the fivefold ministry. In the book of Acts, the third chapter, which we read the other night, and we read just about every night, because you'll notice, as I said, this is one of my favorite portions. Verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted. Change your mind and be turned back. How do you change your mind? You get something new in there. Get something new in your mind. Dump out what you got. You need a mental catharsis. Clear that mind out. Why? So you can be turned again. You can't get back to God unless you channel by your mind. This is why I want the Bible interpretation, what these words mean. I don't care how your man feels about it. Challenge it. Get back to the Word of God, not your ideas, your feelings, and your thoughts. What exactly does it say and why does it say it? The whoring womb is the mind. It's not your goosey-goosey pretty feelings or anything else. It's not the goosebumps in your ideas. It's your mind. M-I-N-D. Not your heart. It comes later. Now he said, then your sins will be blotted out. If you don't know righteousness from wickedness, man, oh man, you're in trouble. See, you can be sinning thinking you're just absolutely on top. You can be a mess thinking and think you're absolutely right. You can be absolutely going to hell and think you're going to heaven if you don't know right from wrong. Now, he said, I'm going to block you in there. When the times are refreshing, I'm going to have to blow a fresh breath again. Why? Because everybody's dead. God's got to bring them in to bring Adam back like he did in the day of Pentecost. Oh, my, I hope you see. Then he said, at this very time, this man will come with what the eye can behold of Almighty God. Signs, wonders, miracles. Thus saith the Lord, to bring you right to restoration so that Jesus can come. Remember in the old days we used to hear impassioned preaching, which was 1,000,000 miles off the mark. He'd be screaming and shouting and stomping and talking in tongues, but you're all silent, aren't you? You better stay that way. Because if you miss the word, you'll miss a whole lot more than what the fellow Shelton thought it'd be again. Yet I said enough to make everyone in this tent stand up and scream. I mean, scream to God. Just your throat gurgles. You can't say a word, but just gurgle. Your breath catches. Because of what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard, and we know that we know where we stand. Servant. Now he said, this Jesus was appointed, you turned down, but he's retained in heaven, he's kept up there. So the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, God is going to restore that word to the people. He's going to bring that word, which brother, sister alone knows the difference between right and wrong. That old tree back there in the garden, the knowledge of right and wrong. That tree that brought death is so rampant in the end time, there isn't one of us that's not fastened or festooned on those branches. But he said, I'm going to send a man, and I'm going to cut those old branches off. He said, I'm going to see that there's living branches in me. I'm going to send Elijah to do it, because I'm going to send a fresh breath out of heaven. Absolute manifestation that these people will know. They're going to be turned right back to Almighty God by the word. Now I mentioned to this period of spiritual blindness is just before Jesus returned. I said they are so spiritually blind that they cannot tell righteousness from unrighteousness. They cannot tell righteousness from iniquity. They do not know righteousness from wickedness. They have turned from God. Here is what it says about the end time in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. And unto the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. It's all over. Amen means it's finished. Amen means it's done. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Alpha and the Amen. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. No, they've so mixed up everything that they can't tell righteousness from wickedness. Everything looks good. Right. Even slacks and hot pants and bobbed hair and every type of filth in the world. It's all good. And pretty ladies tippy-tippy-toeing across the stage, eating songs as they're preaching. They're leading namby-pamby men and hallelujah. They look so sweet. They're sure to win souls. They're going right to hell. With your stinking, flaunting your sex. Not you in it. None in this building, but those outside there, woman typing the church. Ecumenical beauty, bringing them all down into hell. So then, because thou art lukewarm, the mixture of right and wrong, no separation, no difference. See? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. How often have people used that text there to prove there's no eternal security? When were you ever in God's mouth? Such nonsense. Such nonsense. You're in his bosom carved upon his hand, but you never were in his mouth. Mouthpiece of a mouthpiece. And God uses the church as his mouthpiece. Now he's just spewing out, there's none of you in my mouthpiece. There's nobody knows the word. There's none of you fit to do one thing, every table full of vomit. And you are so terrible, I'd come and kill the whole bunch of you and destroy the whole plant. But I'm going to send Elijah to give you one chance to turn back to the devil. No more lukewarm. It's going to be hot and it's going to be cold pretty soon. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. Look at the pride and the arrogance. Look at the spiritual blindness and knowest not you're rich and miserable and poor and blind and naked. By the time I preach on the Laodicean church, I'd bring every one of those words up and show you something there. Show you what this age is like. What kind of a mess is a person, as Brother Branham said, is poor, wretched, blind, and naked, doesn't know. A blind man knows he's blind. A naked person knows he's naked. But spiritually, they're absolutely undone. They don't know wickedness from righteousness. But they say they do. They don't know who's serving God and who doesn't serve God. But they say they do. They say, you can't tell me none. Who do you think you are anyway? Try to tell me I don't know what's wrong. Huh? You know when people talk like that, they're telling God he's a liar.
They're telling the very God that they say, oh, he's the source of all intelligence. He's the source of all wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. He's my perfect Jesus. And he said, you don't even know right from wrong. Now, when you're saying hallelujah, he's so sweet, he's saying, say, you nothing, you big blabbermouth. You unbeliever posing as a believer. You make believer acting as though you got them. You hypocrite. You voiding my word when I said at the end time there wouldn't be one of you knew your right hand or your left hand, spiritually speaking. You're blind. You're miserable. You're wretched. How would you like to have a man come in your house and he's your husband? And suddenly he turns on you and says, what kind of woman are you anyway? You rotten, immoral, filthy creature posing as my wife. You harlot. Exposing yourself to every dog or man on the street. Acting as though you're out there living in prostitution and living in my home here and calling yourself mine. You know, God won't hit that man. Why do you say it? Because it's true. You're rotten. So my Jesus wouldn't say that. Are you kidding? He said it. He said it. What does the woman uncover herself for, said the man? Her nakedness is her sex act. Her filthy fornication with the world systems. Her harlotry with her creeds and her dogmas. Her whoring mind. You're a sexual of every filthy seed. Until she's a hybrid. And the mother of complete corruption. The old whore with her daughters. So we're so sweet and oh yeah, see, look, and here's what he said. I counsel thee. How do you counsel? You give words. Who gives the words? The prophet gives the words. What prophet? Elijah. Listen to Elijah. Buy gold of me, tried to find. Real faith, based upon the living word. That you may be rich. White raiment, that you may be clothed. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And also come beneath your eye sash. You can anoint your eyes, and you won't be blind anymore. You won't be so befuddled anymore that you can't tell righteousness and wickedness. But the way you are, you cannot tell righteousness or wickedness. And I challenge any man living to prove the word of God wrong. The Bible says you can't do the end time. As many as I love doesn't say one thing about us loving him. Does it? It does not. It doesn't say one good thing about this age. Nothing, 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 nothing. Rotten. Derek, let's get the whole horrible picture. If I don't send Elijah, I'm going to come. And I'll curse the whole bunch. Lost, stock, and barrel. Bypass the resurrection. Bypass the rapture. Bypass the marriage supper. Bypass everything but those that are already ascended. I'll get rid of the whole stinking bunch. What kind of a condition? Is there in the land spirits that make a God of justice and love and compassion and beauty and glory and honor and integrity, wisdom and power and honor? Make such a flat statement like that. Then, brothers, sisters, the people got to be pretty awful rotten spiritually. But he said, I'm going to send Elijah. As many as I love, as many as lie in the election, because Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved. So therefore the love of God is elective love. So therefore as many as I have elected, I will now rebuke. Oh, we were there. We were smart and arrogant too. For a while he said, don't tell me anything. Well, he's got a great minister and I think he's got a message, but I can't see some of those points. I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to whip you, train you. Be zealous to change your mind. Have a zeal to change your mind. See? bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ through the prophet Elijah. Now listen what Jesus said about this same period in Luke 17, 26 to 30. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they gave in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now you're going to apply that to this day, of course. It means they're marrying, they're going one church to the other. If you don't like the Baptist, put you there in the Presbyterian church. Don't like the Presbyterian church, put it in the Nazarene. If you don't like the Nazarene, go on down to the Seventh-day Adventists. You can't stand them, take a crack at the missionary line. If you don't like them, try the missionary church, the United Church, or the United Church in Christ, or the Church of Christ, the Pentecostal Church. You can't stand one to try two, as soon as no good try three. Just get married, bless God, and just have a great time. Sure. They didn't know about that day of Noah until Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Listen, they're going to wise up too late. They're going to find church membership didn't do. They're going to find their creeds and dogmas didn't do. Why? They're too busy marrying. Sure, don't like the Baptist, more enjoy Presbyterians. As Brother Brown said, 1 million more in 44, 5 million more in 54, 10 million more in 64, and maybe 80 million more in 74. I wouldn't be surprised to get it by 74. Likewise, it wasn't the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned the building. We're rich, increased, and good. Don't mean a thing. We're having a great time. The commerce is going on forever. Hallelujah. It's no longer boom and bust. It's boom, 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 and no bust. We won't stand for bust. Oh, no, we've got time, we've got love, we've got this, we've got that. It's just up, 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 and on. You know that's the slogan this day, socialism and everything else. You know what I'm talking about. And who started most of this bunk? The United Church of Canada, the Canadians did, with your old CCF. Social gospel. Getting ready for the Pope. Listen, you think Canada's not in tough shape, you're wrong. It's an awful tough shape. I think it's one of the toughest shaped nations in the world. You're fortunate you even had a chance to hear this message. You should thank God day and night that in this day when nobody knew his left hand from his right hand spiritually, God spoke to you.
Amen.
And gave you an opportunity. Okay? Yes, sir. Now listen, but the same day the Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone in heaven. Couldn't do it again, so to speak, to be fire. And it destroyed them all. Now, we're at the end time. This is what Jesus said about it. Now, watch closely. Remember what I read in the book of Acts, chapter 3, Peter preaching. You remember? 19 to 23. He elaborated upon what Jesus said Elijah would do when Jesus said in Matthew 17, 11, that Elijah would restore. Now then, I have a suspicion that if Peter spoke on restoration, he also speaks about this time when you don't know your right hand from your left hand, spiritually speaking. You see, if he spoke on restoration, it's about 1 million to 1 or 1 million to nothing, that he also spoke about the times when restoration would come. Is that right? It certainly is, brother, sister. Absolutely true. So let's go to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and read about it. Notice the continuity of God. If Peter preached a sermon on restoration, then he has to preach a sermon what needs restoring, right? Certainly, anybody would know that. Let's go to the last, the second chapter, 2 Peter. But there were, no, the Greek says arose. There arose false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. When William Branham stood before the world and proved absolutely, completely, finally, there was one God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they turned down one God in the Godhead, that's the time this scripture became fulfilled. Swift destruction is going to hit us. Denying the very God that bought them, Jehovah God, manifest in flesh. Not one of three, but the God, the God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings, Alpha and Omega, the one and only. And his name is Lord Jesus Christ. They denied him. And they took the Trinitarian club and they beat the poor woman in the church over the head. Who did it? The preachers. Who was it took Brother Branham's crowd? And he said, who dismissed that crowd? They did. The preachers did. Why did he say every time I get around a bunch of preachers, they get all messed up? He couldn't get messed up amongst the fivefold ministry bride. There'd be something wrong with him. No, with those preachers out there, always trying to explain things and show things. You don't do it. It's a revelation. How can you explain what only the Holy Ghost can impart? Oh, brother. See, now it's gone. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. You know what pernicionemia is? Takes up all the blood cells until you die. Many shall follow their ways of death, swift death, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Christ revealed in his own word by the prophet is evil spoken of. Serpents, he's filthy rot. One God. Who does he think he is trying to sell us on that nonsense? All the while not knowing they're Catholics. The Roman Catholic Church now accepts every Protestant as properly baptized because they're all baptized according to Catholic dogma. They wrote in the paper not many years ago, and I read it. Their theologians laughed and said, you Protestants make us laugh. You really make us laugh because you have our baptism. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then you say you protest that you're one of us. Oh, the mother knows the daughter because she bore her. Don't tell me she doesn't know the kid that she brought to birth. And through covetousness with feigned words make merchandise of you. They pretend they want you and they're all for your good, but they just want you and your money and they can show in their friends. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not and their condemnation slumbereth not. That's their judgment is right at hand. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment and spared not the over but saved Noah. Oh, that's Luke 17:26-30. So he's talking about the very thing that Jesus was talking about. And he's talking about the end time. So let's hear about this wonderful thing. The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. What's going to happen in the end time, brother, sister? In this terrible condition, there's going to be a preacher of righteousness, not a doer of it, essentially. No. No. The refreshing is not doing. The refreshing is preaching line upon line, word upon word. The Word of God in full Holy Spirit revelation. The token. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the word of the ungodly. Righteousness, ungodliness. One preacher bringing righteous preaching, everybody else ungodly, unless they turn to the righteous preacher. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them as an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. We're in a sodomite condition right now, so therefore we're in the ungodly condition. And it's going to take somebody to come on down and show us that we're ungodly to get us back to being godly. And deliver just law, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. They don't know righteousness from wickedness. That's why God's overthrowing the country and preparing an army. For that righteous man dwelling amongst them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. What's the unlawful thing? Perverting of the word. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in pleasure of uncleanness, and despise government. What government? Well, what's he talking about? God's government. God's word. Because God governs by his word. Obey them that have the rule over you, who teach to you the word of God. You're governed not by your preacher, but by the word. You ever have a wonder whether the preacher's saying the right thing? Go to the word. And if he's trying to tell you to do something that's not in the word, then go to the word and show him. Certainly, it's your privilege, and not only your privilege, but your obligation, according to Brother Branham. Said, if you find me one place off that word, you come and tell me. Huh? A lot of people have, they feel very insulted. Somebody comes and said, well, brother, is this church doing right by the tithe? Well, what's it to you? Oh, you Nicolaitan spirit amongst you preachers. Don't tell me you're in the message, you got an attitude like that. Oh, I like the expression on your face. It didn't get any amen, but that's good. Keep listening. Keep listening. Because God said an awful lot about that tithe when he said, when you get turned. And if we ever get turned, there's one time when the money is going to be used right in the bride. Oh, thank you. It's a little warm now. I'm feeling really religious just about now. Presumptuous are they, venturing where they have no authority. Now the prophet said, presumptuous ones, to venture where you had no authority. Men invading the pulpit or never called it. Self-willed. Not word-willed, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Who does that man Branham think he is? A man with thus saith the Lord. And they don't listen to him. And they don't take every word. And they don't respect him. And they don't fear him. They don't tremble. God has become so casual. The power of the word so indifferent. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not or any accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, serpents. Smart, subtle, Adamic creation, so close to human, his feet can mingle with the human race. At the end time, they're all standing back on the earth, looks like. Now listen, if you wonder just how this thing is done, then remember, natural election, brother, sister, brings about spiritual election. The male ejaculate in one lifetime, they tell me, will go out into space, lay end to end, millions of miles. That's the number of lives one male could procreate. More than this world has ever seen and births ever will see. So therefore, all those natural brutes and all the elect are in the males of this world. And they've got to come forth sometime in God's season. And at the end, they're just literal serpents again, so to speak. Almost, I don't say they really are. But they're just natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. No rulership involved. No real responsibility involved. No reality there. They're just like animals, sensual, doing only what animals can do. Does an animal know right from wrong? No. He doesn't. Then, brother and sister, what age are we in? That animal beast age that will bring forth the beast, that bringing forth the wrath of God. And God says, there's not one of you because you're all one lump. It knows your left hand and your right hand.
You don't know righteousness from wickedness. You absolutely don't. Now, they're made to be taken and destroyed, and speak evil of the things they understand not. There's no revelation there, so they speak evil of it. Yeah. Oh, my. And shall perish in their own corruption. What corruption? The corruption of the mind, which brings reprobate faith. Right? Absolutely the word of God. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. At evening time there shall be light. But they've got such a great pleasure riding against the prophet for having the ball. Brother Brandon said at that West Coast, in that meeting, as I told you the other night, he said, "You women, I come every year and I bawl you out. I warn you, stop chopping off that hair. Lower those skirts, man. Don't wear those masks. Act like Christian." And every year I come back to her and say, "Hee hee hee, chitter, chitter, chitter. We're having a ball," vindicated prophet of God, with thus said the Lord, "because our little teeny preacher." What do you think of a man that procures for a woman of the red light district? You know what they call him, don't you? I won't mention his name. That's what those preachers are procuring for the denomination. You talk about despicable creatures. Pompous, arrogant, smug. Well, I'm educated. I've been to Wheaton College. I wouldn't give you 2 bits for Wheaton or eating your sheep. You can have the whole state in that Springfield, Missouri thrown into your Bible college and Winnipeg, Saskatoon, sharing a whole bunch of them. What do they produce? Bastard children. That's all it can be. Why? Because they want a smug relationship to get away from the persecutions and suffering of this world. Now listen, they riot. Spots they are and blemishes. Sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Sure, they'll come right out. "I'm a Christian. Glory to God." Where's your vindication on what you believe? Where's yours? "I don't have any, but I'm following the man that's got it." I can remember Timothy. They might have said to Timothy, "Timothy, that was some sermon you preached. Where did you get it?" "Got it from Paul." "You mean you don't preach what you think?" "No, I preach what Paul said." "Why?" "I'm not vindicated. He was." By their own deceiving. Their inability to interpret the word of God, knowing they get stuck in it. Listen, you know, folks, let's make a little confession here. I haven't done this for a long time, so I can tell you about it. But I just want to see the preacher who's got the guts to tell me that when he's 2/3 a message on prophecy, he doesn't suddenly realize he blew it. But he wouldn't tell you. I've never preached a message in my life on prophecy. But when I blew it, and I suddenly realized I crossed myself up and I got away from the crowd, they couldn't follow it anyway, and they didn't know I'd blown it. Where's your vindication? There's only one man can interpret this word, and he better have thus said the Lord. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. Adultery, the whoring mind. Always trying to learn some new little wrinkle to put in the pulpit. Well, William Branham, he repeats too much. I can show you something, brother, sister. There is no one major theme in the Bible, but it's exactly to every other major theme, because by the time you study one major theme, you study the whole thing. The Bible's nothing but a repeat in various manners, the way it puts it. And Paul the Apostle, "I'm going to repeat and repeat and repeat because it's good for you." Because every major doctrine goes right to Jesus Christ. I don't care how you take it. I don't care what one you follow. Every single thread goes through Jesus Christ, because He is that word. But it's a multifaceted word. It's the same word. Now listen, they cannot cease from sin. You know what the Bible says? They can't stop sin. How can they stop? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know righteousness from wickedness. So how can they tell? So they just keep on doing it. Unstable soul. Unstable. They're not established. Like I spoke on the present truth. In a heart, they've exercised with covetous practices.
As Brother Brown said, the Methodists want the Baptists. The Baptists want the Presbyterians. The Pentecostals want them all, and I think they're going to get them all, because that's the chance. Look at cursed children. Who was the first child cursed? Cain. Canaanites in the land. Canaanites. What did God say about the Canaanites? Exterminate them. What is he going to do? Exterminate them. Now listen, I'm not preaching tough here. See, get this in your hearts and minds right now. I'm not trying to say, look, I'm going to be happy when they're all done away with. Glory to God. Let's go take a sword and bump them off now if God does it. No, no, no. I'm just trying to show you what the Word says about the condition in order to get you to understand my text, the subject of righteousness and unrighteousness, which have forsaken the right way. Isn't that exactly what Malachi said? Certainly. They have gone astray. Certainly. They had it and they left it. Now, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What did he do? He had a gift ministry, a genuine gift ministry that he exploited to his own end and thereby destroyed the children of God. Led people into sin. A genuine gift ministry leading people to the gates of hell. God never did forgive them for their sin of adultery at Baal Peor, but was rebuked for his iniquity. A prophet, a genuine gift, rebuked for iniquity, using the gift for money and a power to lead people into sin. Leadership leading people into ecumenicity. Now, see, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. No Holy Ghost. I don't care how many gifts they got. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Clouds that are carried with the tempest. See? Their minds are never settled. They're always looking, looking, looking for something. Because they can never get rid of the contradiction. Well, the thus saith the Lord prophet, you don't worry about contradiction. You just believe what he said. I don't care how crazy it sounds. How stupid what it looks like, it doesn't matter. Thus saith the Lord, is thus saith the Lord. And listen, brother, sister, it better look pretty contrary because God said he takes literally nothing to bring our wisdom to nothing. Foolishness of God to bring our wisdom to nothing. Listen, to whom the mist of darkness, the mist, doesn't say pitch black, it's misty. A day that's either light nor dark, they're going to go on and die in that condition. And they'll stay there in that eerie place that Brother Branham spoke of, reserved till the end of their ages. For when they speak, thou sayest, thou sayest, thou sayest. The book of Malachi has roughly about 24 times, thou sayest. And the only church that says, thou sayest, is the Laodicean. So therefore Malachi concerns the Laodicean church in the end time prophet. Thou sayest. For they say, speak great swelling words of vanity. Words of vanity? Pride. They allure through the pleasures of the flesh. Those good feelings. Great healing campaign. Oh, sure. All of those things. Much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Come up to justification. Come up to sanctification. But they're wells without water. And they can only take you as far as they've gone. Listen, answer this question. How far did William Branham go? How far did he go? You want to go that far?
Yes.
And you better follow the man that went that far. These guys didn't get anywhere. They didn't get anywhere. The prophet said so. They only got as far as restoration against me. Stopped right off there. Wells without water. What's that? It's a well. Oh, could you? I'll get a drink. No water. And that's no well as far as I'm concerned. Okay? Listen. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Corruption what? Corrupt mind. Corrupt faith. Through corrupt words. No gold, brother, sister, no gold of faith corrupted. not 14 karat, not 18, corrupt. See? You hear what I said? Corrupt minds, corrupt faith. That right? Servants of corruption. Creeds and dogmas. Preach the calendar, preach your books. You talk about people not believing this Bible. We got a brother from Newfoundland here, I suppose, in the meeting tonight. I got some very precious brothers from Newfoundland in Toronto. I go up there and preach for them every so many weeks, months, and then get around to see them. One young brother went home and told his father about this message. His father argued against him. But the boy is very keen and knows this word quite well. And he tied his father's hands. And he said, well, Dad, let's go to the Bible. He said, come on, the Bible. Put the Bible down. Here's my Bible. And he pulled his little Pentecostal book out with three gods, all three of which are a figment of his imagination, and therefore void and vain. He didn't care 2 cents for the Word of God. And when you and I say, listen, brother, to a man who says, I believe this message, and he said, Brother Brown took us back to the Bible, so that means you put the text to one side and the book to one side. We say, no, brother. When he brought us to the Bible, he brought us the telescope, he brought us the interpretation, now you read the book, and then you go to the Bible. Oh, you watch their spirits rise up. They're not one of you. I said they're not one of you. They don't belong. No. They don't belong. Because they don't know the left hand and the right hand either. You got to come by the prophet. Not because I say so. That's because the Word says so. Now listen. They become overcome with the brought in the bondage. They're brought into bondage. They're trying to get free. These people, they promise them freedom. But they're in bondage because the Antichrist net has already got them in there. And they're going to hit the Great Tribulation. They promise liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom the man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. Now look at it. If you're overcome with the Word of God, you're brought in bondage to the Word of God, right? Now, if you want to put your ear to the doorknob in the ear of Jubilee, to the door jamb, the man will come along and he'll jab a nice stick through there or some little thing that he's got, a little sharp thing, and makes a bump on your ear, and you'll never hear the Word of God again. But now suppose you come to the prophet in the ear of Jubilee, and you say, I want my ears open. Then you're overcome with that. If they can get overcome by the wrong word, then you and I can be overcome by the right word.
Amen.
If they can be destroyed by the wrong word, we can be brought into the kingdom by the right word.
Amen.
Give credit where credit is due. By grace you say through faith and not of yourself. If Abraham had wherever to boast concerning the bread, he might have, but not before God. You think of lots of wonderful things and be a real sweet person, kind and everything else, that's great, so you should be. But don't try it before God if that's your salvation. Your salvation, Jesus Christ. Put it where it belongs. See, I don't even care what you can produce by Him. You can have an anointing upon you and produce so wonderful you're the world's greatest producer and still go to hell according to my Bible. You gotta have Him. See? Little difference. Yeah? It's wrong. Now it says they escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They sure did. They're not down there. They're not down there blaspheming, although they really do. Don't know. They're not down there blowing holes in the bank to get the money out. They're not down there mugging old ladies and robbing them out of everything they got or standing back having a great time because they don't know how to do any more sin. So they're killing people to watch them suffer and say, well, I got a kick out of that. Let's try it again. That's not what they're doing. These are religious people. Nominal Christian. Denominational Christian. They're religious. They got a certain spirituality about them. See? They got the justification, sanctification, but they never got to the baptism. If they had it, they had the Word. They can't have the Word. Clouds without water. Tempest storm. See, now they get entangled. What do they get entangled in? They get entangled in the very thing that brought on sin and degradation. You're right back to where you were, whether you want to know it or not. Because you didn't make it. And it says the latter end is worse than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness It was better they had never heard the word of God to give them the truth, see, than having heard it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. It was better you never heard it than to hear it and turn away. Because the Bible says, they that are without the gospel are judged without the gospel. And those who don't have the law are judged without it. But when you come into the light of the end time and you turn it down, there is no hope. You'll end up just where the Bible says. It happened to them as the true proverb, the dog. They always were dogs, and they'll end up as dogs. Because when you're born again, you were a sheep that was lost. You were not a dog that turned into a sheep. Neither were you a cow that got washed and turned into a sheep. You were a lost sheep, period. Because dogs are dogs, and sows are sows, and sheep are sheep. Now, you see where they're at? That fifth verse, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Verse 13, the reward of unrighteousness. So here is the picture of the end time. When men do not know righteousness from unrighteousness. And you've got a group of people that lure them through pleasure and corruption of the word, and therefore corruption of life into the same pit that they're in. And they love it. And they go on all the while thinking they're exactly right, that they've got everything they need from Almighty God. Now then, let's take another witness, the Apostle Paul. 2 Thessalonians, in the 2nd chapter, 8 to 12. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. How deceived are you about a man if he comes into your home and takes a big club and bashes your brains out? He'd say, well, buddy, if I was deceived about that guy, I would certainly be crazier than he is. And I'd say, amen, honey, you said it perfectly right. So then it's not that kind of unrighteousness. It's the kind that deceives you and makes you think you're righteous. It makes you think you're doing righteousness, huh? But you're not. And you think it's righteousness that you're doing, but you're not. And it makes you think you're serving God, but you're not. And you're caught in a trap. Where Brother Branham said, the two spirits are so close. Will not be deceived. Huh? Well, come on now. Am I preaching the truth? I got it because I'm telling what the prophet said. I got no problem. I'm vindicated. Your brother there, you talk like you know. Sure do, honey. No problem here. I know what I'm talking about. He said it. Here it is. Listen. Because they receive not the love of the truth. Noah, a prophet of righteousness. Huh? And they deceived through unrighteousness that was so close to Noah that they said, who needs the ark? And they said, who needs this William Brown? We're doing everything that he did and better. Because he got a $50 million university. And we're turning out those sweet little dolls, pardon the expression, just about unrighteous ones, that they bounce back and forth like little Lady Godiva's almost before a camera, and have unregenerate people sing hymns and call it God. Well, they prayed about a tongue-talking experience and blasphemed the very Lord God Jehovah who came in the person of Jesus Christ, making him free. And then ignoring him, calling him a third spirit or something. I don't want to vituperate or be blasted, Brother Sister, but if I'm going to have cutting words, I'm going to use them. Remember, Brother Branham once used that word. He said, I never saw illegitimate. That's just the polite word for bastard. And that's a person who thinks he's a child of God, but he's not.
He's taking everything the Father's got and acting as though he was the Israelite. Because they received not the love of the truth. They wouldn't take the thing, my brother and my sister, that could turn them to God to make them know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. To know the difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve Him. They turned it down. And God says, because of it, I will send you strong delusion. He already sent it. And the delusion was the very truth that He presented. He was hidden in simplicity. And they couldn't see Him. Now listen, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, who believe not the righteousness, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right? I'm not really changing the Bible. I'm just getting to see the words here. Because if the antithesis is unrighteousness, then the other is righteousness. So therefore, truth is righteousness, because that's what you preach. That's what Noah preached. He preached righteousness, which is truth, and they preferred their own ideas. Very young. Now, that's exactly what Peter said. Over here, you see, in 10 and 12, but seek ye them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, godly government, those in authority, the prophet of days, presumptuous are they, walking where they have no authority, self-willed, not of God. They just say they're sent of God, but they're not. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity, but these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken, destroyed. Speak evil of things they understand not. Did you understand, Brother Branham? I can prove it. They speak evil of them. They didn't understand. They still don't know. They think we're following a man, just as though it was nothing but a man. They think we're putting him ahead of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Elijah's got to come ahead of Jesus Christ, or Christ is only coming around. So I'm glad there's somebody ahead of Jesus in the fact of one, two follows one. See? Now, all right. We've established the end time condition of Christianity. The Laodicean church age ends with a great deception. Spiritually blinded people that can't tell righteousness from unrighteousness, wickedness from truth, and so on. Right in the church, they fail to see those who serve God and those who do not serve Him. Now we come to the harvest. The great harvest, as Peter said, brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed. Now comes the question, where did this harvest come from? What is this all about? We've got the truth of the condition today. And there's no one, I believe, in his right mind would disagree with what I've said tonight. It's plain and evident that this is the condition of this age. What brought it on? What is behind it? Why, listen, if there's a harvest, there's got to be a seed. If there's a seed, there's got to be a harvest. See, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's got to be a sowing for a harvest. I have described the harvest based upon what the prophet taught us. What was the sowing? We go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 7 to 12. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now that's a plain, blunt statement. If you are born of God, you do not commit sin. Why do you not commit sin? Because you cannot commit sin. And the reason I do not jump over this tent is because I cannot jump over this tent. The reason I do not sing beautiful hymns is because I cannot sing beautiful hymns. I've got a poor voice. The reason I don't sit and play that organ is because I cannot play the organ. I can't. That's a mighty good reason.
Now the reason you cannot, you don't commit sin is because you cannot commit sin. You haven't got the capability. You haven't got the ability to do it. There's nothing there to do it with. See? Because the seed remaineth in him, he's born of God. But over in that second chapter, first verse, and second verse, it tells you that you can commit sin. And it tells you if you do, you've got an advocate. But where you can't commit a certain thing, you don't need an advocate. If I never run foul of the law, I don't need a lawyer. If I can't do a certain thing, you can't accuse me, I'm free. But if I can do something else, and it's dead that's wrong, then I'll need an advocate. So over here it tells you, in our message tonight, there is some one thing that you cannot do. And you don't need an advocate for this. See? You follow me? You don't need an advocate. No, you'll never come into judgment. Why? Because this thing cannot be imputed to you. No. Justified. Perfect. You follow me? You've got to follow me because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Two viewpoints. You got a viewpoint here where something can be done to you that you got to ask forgiveness for, and Jesus prays for you. Over here, there's something you cannot do, so you don't need him to plead for you. Because in this, you are identified with him. You're one with him. You're perfect with him, and he with you. There's no mark against you. Why? Because this is one place where no mark can come. Why? Because you're incapable of producing a mark against yourself. You follow me? Yeah, all right. Now, we've got this point. I know a lot of folk want to agree, but they don't know the word. We haven't got the Holy Ghost for that. That's enough. All right? I'm not talking smug now. In this, now watch, I'm proving my point. In this thing, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. He says right here, you're going to tell them apart. This is one thing here the children of God will never do wrong. They're always perfect in it. Absolutely just like Jesus. The children of the devil, here's where they boo-hoo every time. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now right here, you'll boggle your mind down if you don't believe what the prophet said, that love is not the evidence. Now you read this all you want and say, but Brother Bill, but Brother Bill, but Brother Bill. See, it shows you haven't got it. See, I'm glad you sat with us, but you won't be long with us. You'll be leaving us. You won't stay with us because you can't. Because you won't take what the prophet said. You think you can read the Bible the way you think it's read, and therefore you got to be right. So was Israel. Jesus came according to Scripture, but not according to their interpretation, so they crucified him. So go ahead. He doesn't mind. Huh? You with me? Are you reading with me? We're going to circumcise your minds tonight. We've got no room for your thoughts, your ideas, and your experiences. I said your experiences. I don't care about your experience. I don't care about mine. Because the prophet didn't care about his. Neither did Peter. Now we can breathe easier now. Have faith in the word. Okay? For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That you should love one another. Not your evidence. But you gotta love them. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, unrighteous, and his brother's righteous. Now let's go with this. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 7 makes the dynamic statement about identification with Jesus. It says, little children, don't let any man fool you. It says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as Jesus Christ is righteous. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ if you can conform to what this scripture indicates. Now, what does it say about the subject of righteousness? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 21. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us, a sin offering. This Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God by our union with Him, because the word in Him means union with. So therefore, we are the very righteousness of God because of our union with Christ. As I've said so many times, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, if you are joined to God, you and he are one spirit. I ask this question. Did you make God dirty, or did he make you as clean as he is? If you're willing to believe tonight that you're joined to the Lord God by the Holy Ghost, then you have only one thing to say. I am as righteous as Almighty God by the Spirit of God. And you don't pull your horns in and suck air in your lips and think, I hope so, now on a certain condition. You see, you blew it right there, because the condition is you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're joined to Him. That's the condition. And the result is you're as righteous as God. Does that circumcise your mind? Get rid of your corruption. Get a scoop shovel made of the Word of God and shovel all that junk out of your mind, that corruption. Right, so your faith won't be reprobate. Because if you've got that word exactly right in your heart, you've got perfect faith. Right? Is that right? That's right. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And hearing is understanding. So therefore, revelation makes faith. Is that right? Faith is revelation. So therefore, we will accept, circumcise our minds. Bring every thought into captivity. And look yourself right in the face the way Abraham did. He said, I'm a father of nations. Listen, you old bearded goat, you're just about dead now. And you say you're a father of nations. You haven't had one son even. By this woman, you called yourself a father of nations. He said, bless God, that's what I am. On what authority? On the authority of the word of God. The other fellow said, well, now Abraham might have said, now, sir, you see, it's this way God made a promise. And, well, it's kind of embarrassing, I know. But, well, you know, it's up here. Well, what kind of a father of faith would that kind of a bird be? The 1 minute before he was changed into a new young man, he was the worst shape he ever was in those 100 years at that minute. The righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit baptism, Christ in us, the hope of glory, absolutely is our righteousness. Now, Paul gives the doctrine, and John is going to tell us the manifestation or the evidence of the identification. All right, listen. The baptism with the Holy Ghost, right? What's the evidence of it?
Right here. You believe it? What it is here. Now listen. It tells you. In, it says now, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil sins in the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might undo the works of the devil. And the devil trapped them into what? Unrighteousness. Now we know how he did it. Of course, we'll talk about it. Now, God is going to undo that work. Christ was made manifest to that end. Now, if he was manifest to that end, then brother, sister, can he fail? No! He can't fail. He's going to make us and bring us to the confirmation of the Son until we stand with the same body he's got. Well, listen. Can he fail? Was he manifested? To what end was he manifested? To undo the work of the devil and bring us right back to Eden. Can he fail? No!
God never did get that seventh-day rest. We bunked it up and messed it up. They turned around and gave us the whole 6,000 years. Said, go ahead. Now he's going to get that day back. Right? Christ was manifest to do it. Will he do it? Has he done it? Certainly. Then that takes care of it. Comes by the mind, right? You got to bring it here. Circumcise the mind. Don't say he won't do it. Say he has done it. Think now. Let's keep further. For whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin? Certainly not. Why? Because he can't. Now listen. In this, here's your evidence. The children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now notice that loveth not his brother is thrown in there. It wasn't up here. So that tells you your motivation has got to be love, but your evidence is elsewhere. Well, isn't it? Is this what the prophet said? Did he say he had a vision to correct him? Is that right? In broken cisterns. Did he tell us that he had a vision that corrected him, that the evidence was not love, but it was the lining up with the Word? Is that right? Then say amen. Amen. Thank you. When did he say it? 1965. Four years, 64. Now listen to me. In 1961, I went to Brother Branham, broken hearted. I had a terrible tragedy in my life. I knew I didn't have the love that I should have had, though I wept for days and days over the condition of my heart. I said, Brother Branham, I have got to have help. I've never asked for a vision. I've never asked for help before. But would you be so kind to see if God would give you a vision? He said, you know me that I'll do that. I said, when will I come down? He said, I'm leaving next week. I said, can I come today? He said, come right today. It was Sunday. I got in the car, drove to Jeffersonville, about 4.5 hours in those days. He took me right up to that place where you go toward the cave, where the vision never fails. He stopped the car. And he said, now you know, Lee, that it might not come. I said, Brother Branham, I'm only asking you to try. You won't push it. It's all right. I'll understand. The minute he said that and turned to God, the vision broke with a split second. He said, Lee, God showed me a pyramid. And here is the message to you. He said, get out of British Israel. You've got a fine, inquiring mind. You like to study. That was a compliment, not the truth. Studying so hard you do, and my mind may be inquiring, but it's not too fine. And he said, Lee, don't fool with it. Leave it alone. Now listen, I was going to God for the evidence of the Holy Ghost in my life. And he came back and corrected the word. What's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Come on, go ahead. What is it? Do you believe that? Are you going to stand on? Are you going to circumcise your mind to it? Doesn't say throw out love. My God, that's why we cry day and night and sigh and hate ourselves, because we're not walking in the full complement of the merits of Christ. But brother, sister, we are one of them. For by grace are we saved through faith, not out of ourselves. Now he says right here, the children of God are manifest in this righteousness. And the devil's children can't produce it, buddy, they'll hate you. Because you got it, and you'll be in love because you have it. Now listen, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning. The message of righteousness and unrighteousness goes right back to Genesis, like marriage and divorce. It was not so in the beginning. Now, it's in the beginning. What's in the beginning? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, of the serpent, not Adam, and slew his brother. Now listen, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, it doesn't say the killing was unrighteous. It says Abel did a righteous work, and Cain did an unrighteous work, and therefore Cain killed Abel because Cain had done an unrighteous work that Abel could not do. Let's go back and find out about it. Because that's the only way we're going to know the truth. Genesis chapter 4. Oh my, 10 o'clock. Aren't you glad we can sit so long and still be happy?
Thank you. I knew you'd have to answer me that way. You're so sweet. Bless your little hearts. I just may preach Sunday morning again for 4 hours. You are so nice. Make me ashamed of myself. But if you keep being nice, I guess maybe someday I'll be nice too. My, there'll be a jubilee in glory. Okay, let's start at verse 1 in chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again buried his son Abel. Now listen, Abel was the chief of the sheep, and Cain was the foot of the ground. And it brought at the time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to Cain's offering God did not have respect, and Cain was very wroth. Huh? There he is. His countenance fell. The Lord said again, why are you wrong? Why are you showing it all over your face? You can't help showing but what you are. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be a desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Why did he kill him? Because Abel did a righteous thing, and Cain did an unrighteous thing. Now you notice here, there were two people. One righteous, one unrighteous. There were two acts. One righteous, one unrighteous. Now why was one act righteous, and why was one act unrighteous? Here is where you will get your evidence of identification with Jesus and your identification or evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, Cain was a worker of the soil. He brought the fruit. Abel killed sheep. He didn't produce a thing. Something else produced it for him. He merely took it and applied it. Now, listen, let's read it. Verse 7, the way it's written in the Septuagint. And remember, the Septuagint is the Hebrew translated to the Greek. And remember, Jesus used the Septuagint. And Peter used the Septuagint. And Paul used the Septuagint. They all use the Septuagint. And I'm going to use the Septuagint. Now listen, here's how it should read, verse 7. Thou hast offered right, said God to Cain. Yet if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned. Now, don't you think that I'm telling you a lie, because I'm going to go to the New Testament in 1 minute and prove that I'm telling you the truth on this translation. God said not, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Oh, that's kind of accurate. If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. He didn't say that. He said, honest before God, here's what God said. Cain, you've offered right. What you did was right. But you divided the word wrong. You're in sin. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 15. You love the Lord? You love this message? You couldn't love the Lord if you didn't love the message. All right, 2 Timothy. Get the pages apart here. 2:15. Study what? The word. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman doing what? Righteousness or unrighteousness? That he does not to be ashamed. Was Cain ashamed? Yes. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot possibly be approved of God, as Abel was, unless you divide that word. As Brother Branham said, and I'll prove it. They both have the same word from the same God. But Abel had a revelation, and by revelation divided the word and offered right, and God accepted him. But he turned the other man down. Are you ready for the proof? You believe I can prove it? Thanks for your confidence. I'm going to prove it. You believe the Holy Ghost said that you believe instead of leave them? Huh? If I don't tell you, but the Holy Ghost does, would you believe the Holy Ghost said? Come on now, honest. Will you take it that this, what I'm saying is right? Then listen. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. If Abel's was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. You with me?
I didn't tell you that. Who told you that?
The Holy Ghost told you. Why? He wrote the book. Is that right?
Then if a man offered an excellent sacrifice, then he offered right. What was wrong with it? Cain offered the sacrifice of the first fruits prior to the blood. Both are in the Word of God. And both are demanded by God. See? But you've got to have them in their place. Now there's only one way you'll ever stand with God and do righteousness. Because though Cain's act was a beautiful act, and it was right in the Bible, and he could prove it was in the Bible, he was wrong.
Yeah, he was wrong. Because he didn't have a revelation. And brother, sister, you can have all the gifts of the Holy Ghost you want. You can walk as sweet and nice as you ever wanted. But brother, sister, when there comes a showdown in this word, you're going to hate somebody about it if you haven't got reality to your turn. I know a man that's so sweet it's almost unbearable. And the minute he crossed swords with a sweet little boy that I know that's in this message, who proved to him conclusively from the tapes of William Branham what he was saying, this man has still turned and said the little boy is off the deep end. And the preacher himself is critical. He's so far off the deep end himself, it is pitiful. And he's got, and people are now believing that little church is full of ghosts. When I heard that theme, and I crossed my heart with fear, and I wondered and said, oh God, have I called somebody a ghost? Have I read him? Have I de-Christianized that person or un-Christianized Brother Van Zandt? You can have all the love you want. You can have all the gifts you want. You can have every single thing you want. But the difference between the children of the devil and the children of God in this end time as it was in the very beginning, when that truth and absolute purity was there, there was also, brother, sister, that other thing so close that you could have been deceived into what they're both offering to God. They're both praising God. They're both going to the Bible. What are you talking about? One man had a revelation. The other man didn't. And brother, sister, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the evidence that you're identified with Him and your righteousness lies in only one thing. It lies in a revelation of that Word, so that whatever you do is based upon the revelation of the Word of Almighty God, and that ends it. You see today how people can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and not put the church in order. Where is it put them? Well, bless God, we've got gifts of the Holy Ghost. And it's in the Bible, hallelujah. And we're doing it. And we've got results here. Okay, Cain. Well, Brother Cain, okay. Then you watch Brother Branham give the truth. They hate him. And they hate us. They sneer and they mock. And when the day comes, they'll kill us. All for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, we got rid of those guys. You think not? Why did Jesus in John 16:2 say there comes a day when they think they're doing me a service by killing me? Why do you think they got rid of Paul? Because he worshipped God according to heresy, according to them, but he worshipped God according to truth. Here is where your battle always is, over this word by division. Misinterpret one word, misplace one word, off goes your name. What brought this whole thing into trouble? What brought every murder? What brought every assault? What brought every robbery? What brought every sickness? What brought every broken home? What brought every broken life? A woman changed one word, and her son followed in her footsteps. And he said, all worship God and all offer. And he offered a wonderful sacrifice. Oh, those grapes and those pears and those the sheaves of wheat and everything were beautiful. And they were wonderful. And God said, that offering is exactly right. Those gifts are exactly right. Everything is exactly right, but you are exactly wrong. Because you're not interpreting my word according to my revelation. And now, brother, sister, this is why the Bible said only the very elected cannot be deceived. And my friend Dave Marmus, the Greek by birth and studies in the Greek, he said that's a very special word. It comes from ek and logos, those who come up by the word. So here is your identification, and here is your proof that this is what constitutes a man doing righteousness. Now, back in the days of Abel, God showed his approval. Sure he did. How'd you do it? We know how he did it. Pillar of fire came down, didn't it? Remember when Abraham made the sacrifice? Pillar of fire came down, like a smoking furnace, and a lamp went between the sacrifices? Certainly. So did God's fire come down. But how is it? How does he do it today? How does he do it today? What is that evidence today where we know where men stand? How do we know they line up? We know it by their lining up with the Word. Let's go to 1 John now. 4th chapter and 1 and 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. He doesn't need to take them out and just see how they talk and all. Oh, brother. Even these men that really think they know so much and come and really tell us so many things, pull nonsense like that. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Not some nonsense. Well, I was around Brother Branham for years and years. Well, listen up. Some man around Brother Branham's going to try your spirit. He hunted, he fished. Jesus Christ turned and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it yet. There was nothing I said or did. There wasn't the way I lived, the way I acted. It was God that showed you who I was. Interested in you. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets. There you are right there. What's a false prophet? He's a fellow that tells you something that's wrong about the Word of God. He can come to you doing a lot of signs and wonders and bamboozle you. See? Now hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ to come to the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ come to the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherever you heard, it should come. And even now it's in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Now listen, they're of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Now listen, we are of God. Now watch. Here's trying your spirit. He that knoweth God, said John, hears me. He that's not of God won't hear me. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and error. Much the doors to see the day approach. Those same people that try to trap you all the time, you watch how they prate around. They don't have 1 ounce of word. Not trying to run them down, just showing you the truth.
Amen.
I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about me. I'm worried about you, because my job is to show these things. I've got to show them by precept and by example. John said, I'll tell you how we know they're not of God, because they won't hear me. You say, wow. That fellow's bumptious. Boy, that fellow really thinks he's somebody. Certainly he ought to, too. Certainly he ought to. He is somebody. He's the messenger. He's the messenger of prophet. And John's a prophet. We know that. And he said, if you hear me, and you line up with what I say, he said, that's proof that you're a God. Listen, I can't help what I read. I just got to read. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Came the Word of God out from you? Did you produce it? Did God talk to you and tell you these things? Or did it come to you only? Did I tell you because God told me? If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or even spiritual, got the Holy Ghost, never mind an office, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You'll know right now whether you got the Holy Ghost or not, said Paul. How do you line up with what I'm teaching? Well, Brother Branham, we you see, I think it's okay for your church to put those ministries in another room, but you see, we think different. Yeah, but Brother Dale, they're so lovely. I didn't say they weren't lovely. They're so zealous, they're so anxious, they're so pitiful, meaning full of pity. They're so gracious, they're so kind. I know they are. I'm not arguing that. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm not here to argue. Now, there's an argument. I'm only quoting what Paul said. I'm only quoting what John said. Now listen. John that wrote this. Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was looking right down at the end of time. That great day. And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. And remember, at the end time, the trumpet is going to sound. And that voice is a trumpet. And that voice is the voice of Almighty God. And it's the voice of the seven church age messenger. And in verse 12, I turned to see the voice. He did not turn to see the man. He turned to see the voice. So you're not going to look at a man. You're not going to look at a certain thing. You're going to look at the voice, which is the Word.
Being turned, I saw seven golden candles.
He didn't see Jesus. He saw a church. And in the midst of the church, one like unto the Son of Man. That in the Greek can be translated, who says the same thing as. Who says the same thing as Son of Man. All right, now listen. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven candlesticks. The seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. Okay? Chapter 1. Unto the messenger, the angel of the church, which is in Ephesus. He introduces himself, gives his own personal revelation of himself, gives them the word of God, and then says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But the Spirit did not say it to the churches. The Spirit said it to the messenger, and the people heard what the messenger said, and when they identified, they heard God, therefore they were of God. That's your identification. That's your righteousness. Prove that you're one with him. Absolutely prove. Then where do these people go who won't listen to the man of God for the age? What happened to those people that turned down Lucifer? You know what happened to them. What happened when they turned down Wesley? You know what happened. What happened when they turned down Restoration of Gifts? You know what happened. What happened when they turned down William Branham? You know what's happening right now. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the church in every single age. And it's his voice, and he is speaking to the messenger. But at the end time, he's got a special messenger like the first time, which is a vindicated prophet. According to Deuteronomy chapter 18, Luke 17, 26 to 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, and so on. The last stage message has come forth. And it came forth by a trumpet through a vindicated prophet. It came forth with a pillar of fire, proving that the pillar of fire was there because no man could do the works that he did. It took God. His vindication was so fantastic. I read it to you in Hebrews 6. It says, the enlightenment came with the taste of the heavenly gift, partaking of the Holy Ghost, tasting the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, and they still fell away when God put every single ounce of his ministry into a man. And they still said, he doesn't say what we say. Tell me when Jesus ever said what a Canaanite ever said. Show me where how he divides the word by the Holy Spirit. They turned it down. They said so in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verses 10 to 12. They received not the love of the truth. They loved their deception of unrighteousness. They said, don't tell me. I can read the Bible. Don't tell me. You're not following a man, because you are. They're dropping like ten pins. Just like Cain, they take pleasure in unrighteousness. They take pleasure in the wrongly divided word. They take pleasure in standing on it. That's why I can't stand promise boxes. And if you do yourself a favor, junk them. Because every single one is simply a word out of context. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The angel of God said, have them confess their sin. Put that on your promise box. Thank you. That one bold servant of God here somewhere don't know who you are, but thank you just today. Junk it or put it the way it should be. Rightly divide the word. I'll send Elijah, could he? That's a group of us. Could he know that's not a Grupian? Never was and never will be. How can I get? Oh, that's been done in John the Baptist. No, it's going to be done again. Because that great and dreadful door, they wasn't there in the days of John. And Jesus got to come 3 times himself. He came the one time to proclaim the acceptable year, and he had to come and proclaim the vengeance of God, and he's got to come yet again to comfort those that mourn in the atonement of mourning when they see him for whom he is. We've got a lot more comings than you thought. He came down to Pentecost. He came down to Paul. He came down to William Brown. He's here now. Praise the Lord. Such vindicated ministry as men could not realize took place in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, yet they turned it down. They took pleasure in unrighteousness. They were so close to the real thing. They said it's the real thing. And they turned the truth down because, brother, sister, if you misinterpret the word, it's no longer truth. How many folk tonight still don't have trouble looking at a map to realize which is north, east, and south? Now, I know it's just as good as any, but I'll get mixed up too, just wonder. And if they give me instruction, I got to turn and say, now, listen, I'm going this way. I think I'm going south, so I got to turn and say, now, if I'm going south, then east is that. So that's good. I swing to that. And if I boo-boo a bit, suddenly I say, ooh, that was west, wasn't it? I might be going the wrong direction.
Missing that word. And when you miss the word, you have missed faith. And listen, then your faith is reprobate. What's a reprobate? Can't talk that now. See, I've got faith in Jesus. Have you? As long as he that heareth us is a God, he that doesn't hear God is not enough. You know that Jesus said the same thing? How close can a man identify with Jesus? Jesus said, you don't hear God's word. So he said, yes, you don't hear me, you're not a God, you're not a God. And then John turned around, he said, if you don't hear me, you're not a God. How close can these messengers identify with God? They identify so close that when William Branham came, many people thought he was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you heard him talk. That spirit was near me. It sounded like he was saying that he was Jesus Christ. Because I was an eye in 50 years and that spirit hit coming down from Canada. My brother Brown was preaching identified. That spirit would say to me, it sounded like, well, he's calling himself Jesus Christ. And I said, what kind of a deed have I done here? What's going on here? He's singing Jesus Christ. This is the platform. Brother Brown here speaks then. Next night, going crazy sitting there. But somebody said, Lee, do you know that those people think he's Jesus Christ? And I smiled and I said, that's really a thing. That identification is so close, brothers and sisters. Listen, you and I have got an identification too. And that identification is union with Jesus Christ. That he has become our righteousness. And we are one with him. See? Now listen, their lives are bound in their creeds and dogmas. To which, at the end time, they will add miracles and great ministries, according to Matthew 24:24. But remember, the prophet said, give them the word test. Like Cain, they cannot take the word. And John said, if they don't hear us, you're not a God. And that same voice went through 7 church ages till it came at the last time where it says, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all see, we shall all be changed in a moment. And the tinkle and I at the last trump of the trumpet shall sound. When that voice, that trumpet message of Revelation 10 and 7 goes into effect, brother, sister, then the whole word of God will go into effect in your life, and God has designated you one of his because you identify with the voice. Now listen, the shout is the message, but the voice is the resurrection. Amen. Do you want to live and not die? Then get with that voice, brother, sister. That's the word. What was that thing that Cain did, the unrighteous thing?
beautifully took the Word of God, beautifully misinterpreted the Word of God, beautifully followed out his creeds and his dogmas, because that's all it was now, and terribly, horribly reprobated himself, because his faith was reprobated, because he misdivided the Word. Now, brother, sister, listen to me. And let's get this very carefully. Because we took you back to the beginning and showed you what it's all about, would you be willing now to stand here and say, Brother Ben, I don't need anybody. Not anybody just got that kind of courage to show that you are reprobate. We might as well pull the thing all the way down the line. One day we may be shocked at what we're saying and prove whether we got the Word or not. We have to take our test. Would you say, I don't go for that nonsense? I can divide the Word myself. Now, 99% of you sitting here would never do that. Perhaps 100% wouldn't do it. Because from this message, the Word of God, what I've taught tonight based on what the prophet taught us, you know, since this is the truth, and it is the truth, you would not dare risk yourself one moment to interpret that Word. You'd want somebody who could prove that he has the right to interpret it, to do it for you. That's why I don't interpret this Word, nor do I explain this Word. I teach it. Because I do not have the interpretation. It wasn't given me. I take from the man who had the interpretation, then I teach it. None of us would dare to stand and say, Brother Dale, I'll stand with him. Would you? You want to stand with Abel to speak of better things? Then stick with the prophet.
Amen.
Stick with the prophet. If you know only that much and you really know it by revelation, that's all. Don't worry. Just let the rest wait. It might not be yours to get. And if you know this much already, don't get smug. Say, oh, brother, there's yards up there yet. Oh. And the more you get, the worse you feel you haven't got more.
Amen.
But don't let it bother you. Stick with that sweet revelation, that prophet divided that Word. And brother, sister, listen, there is nobody but those who stand with righteous Abel can get this. And then we're going higher, till one day we see not. And Enoch walked with God and was not. And how can you walk together except you be agreed? And how can you be agreed except your minds be one? There's a bride walking right in to the fullness of revelation according to each member's necessity. And there a fully revealed Word bride will stand to walk right into eternal life. And you know that's the truth. May God hasten the day. So we don't want anyone to miss it. Brother, sister, circumcise your minds tonight, lest you be of corrupt mind and reprobate faith. Get rid of all your own thoughts. Don't be afraid to stand with the prophet. Don't try to put your own interpretation on. Just believe it. Just believe it. And the Holy Ghost will quicken it. And one day there's going to be a bride, spotless, with a wedding garment, who walks in. And you know what? Let's go all the way.
Amen.
Let's believe with us.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. Shall we rise? How about we'll walk in the light? Now that's one verse I can't get.